It's almost a two-hour drive, and they only have about... It helps keep the doors open, to be honest with you. They have about 15, 20 people. They're pastors in a nursing home going through a really hard time. So he's covering their services every Sunday morning. They don't have services on Sunday night, and they treat him real good. They treat him real good, and he enjoys that. And then he's preaching at different churches. He's going to be preaching at Brother Merle's, because of Brother Clarence opened this up, and this is odd. You'll think this to be odd. There's a Church of God mission out back of St. Albans that's asked him to come and speak on two occasions. He came and he told him, and he said, "No, I'm a Baptist. We just want to hear the word," they said. And he said, "Well, okay." So he's been going over preaching, and then they've asked him to, this is the third time that they've asked him to come back. And he's teaching them the doctrines of salvation, about justification, imputed righteousness. And it's just an awesome situation. It's an odd situation, but they're treating him real good too. So he's getting to preach all over, and we're very thankful for that. May pray about that situation there, and the Lord might open up. A lot of the old ladies there really like him, and they say, "This wasn't for that bee behind your name, that Baptist." And they said, "Well," he said, "Well, now we could do something about that. We could change the C off that sign and put a Baptist on there." And he preaching what he believed, just teaching it, and they seem to be hungry for it and keep calling him back. So it's hard to tell what the Lord can work out of such a situation. Someone wants to hear. It's amazing what people listen to when you don't put labels on it, too. You just teach the Word and let the Holy Spirit convict. It's amazing, amazing. So we're thankful that he's getting those opportunities, though his daddy, and of course his daddy and his mother misses him out here. But that's what the Lord's called him to do now, and it seems like he's covering for everybody. So Matthew chapter 16 is where we're going to be at today. We're going to be focusing on verses 13 through verse 17. And I want to read those texts for you. If you would, just do this. Show respect this morning to the reading. Let's stand, if you don't mind, stand for the reading of the Word of God and listen. It said, verse 13, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" How many believes that? Say amen. "And Jesus answered and said, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah,'" that's Simon, son of Jonah, "'for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, but my Father, which is in heaven.'" Let us pray. Father, we pray that you'd have your will and your way in this service, and that you'd anoint these lips of clay today. Fill this assembly with the power of your Spirit. All the study and things in the world does not amount to nothing without the power of the Spirit, I realize. And Lord, we pray that you'd touch hearts here today, that we would be made to rejoice in what you have done for us. We pray that you would come in amongst us, that you not be outside the door knocking, and that you would come in and sup with us, each one of us, Lord, oh God, individually. Pray that you'd touch hearts with this, perhaps call someone out of their sin today, and perhaps call someone back into a right fellowship with you today. But Lord, may Jesus be exalted in this message, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I love this text of Scripture. I always have. I've used it in preaching many times over the years, but not exclusively that I know of. I've just preached from it. There's two questions in the text. There is a general question that's given in verses 13 and 14, a general question, kind of a public poll, Gallup poll, or whatever you want to call a poll of who that popular opinion said that Jesus was. That's given in verses 13 and 14. Then there's more of a personal question, and a response that's given in verses 15 and 16. And then once the personal question is given and the response to that question is given by Simon Peter, then the reason for that response is given, why he made that response. So that's my outline. I was going to write it down for you, but I was too busy looking for songs and things. So let me give you the outline again so you can write this down. It's real simple. I try to be real simple. Of course, that's not real. That's not a whole lot of trouble for me because I am real simple. But first point, general question and response is the first point, verses 13 and 14. General question and response. Point number two is a personal question and response, verses 15 and 16. And then the reason for the response is given in verse 17. So that's what we're going to look at this morning in the message. I got to give this a title, do I not, for our tape lady. If I don't give her a title, she'll get all upset at me. So I'm just going to give it the title of Revealed. Revealed. Because I think that's going to be the dominating theme of this text. Revealed. All right? Revealed. I want you to remember that. Or the idea of the word revealed is to be unveiled. You know, it's kind of like if sometimes you'll see people have a statue and they'll have a piece of white cloth over it or a sheet, and that's hidden, is it not? And then they unveil it so that everybody then, once it's unveiled, then people can what? They can see it then. All right, that's the idea of the word revealed, and that will be the title for the message. Just now look at the general question response. Jesus is talking to, of course, His disciples, His 12. And He's speaking to them, and He wants to know. Now, does He know? Well, of course He knows. Anytime He asks a question, it's for them. It's not for His sake. He knowed everything. He knew what people thought. He knew their hearts, too. So He wasn't trying to find out the information about Himself or crying out loud. He was God in the flesh. He knew everything. So when He asked them a question, it's for their purpose. It's like when I asked you a question. I already know. And I'm asking you a question so that you will think. Jesus, of course, did the same thing. And I base that on this. A lot of my preachings in question form is so that you will think about what I'm saying in your mind. Reason in your mind to strive to answer a question. So these questions Jesus asked is not for His sake. I want you to understand that. It's for the sake of the people He's talking to and for our sake here today. There's a lot we can learn from this particular text. Whom do men? General, who do men say that I am? Well, some thought that Jesus was John the Baptist, resurrected again from the dead. If you'll look back in chapter 14, that's what Herod thought. That's what Herod thought in Matthew 14. It says, and at that time, verse 1 of Matthew 14, the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." So Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist that had resurrected. Of course, Herod's the one that beheaded John the Baptist. So I imagine his conscience really tormented him over what he did, I would think. Might not have, but he thought that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected. So was he right? Absolutely not. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the one that came before, but John the Baptist himself acknowledged to those that came that he was not that prophet. He was not the Messiah. Others thought that he was Elijah. One of the prevailing opinions amongst the Jews is that before the Messiah would come, Elijah would come to prepare the people. And of course, Jesus applied that text. It comes out of the book of Malachi. Jesus applied that text to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the fulfillment of that particular text. He looked like Elijah. As you read about him, he was clothed with a leather girt like Elijah. He was a very hairy man. His meat was locust and wild honey. All of his similarities was like Elijah, but he literally wasn't Elijah. He was like Elijah. And he was a great man of God, a great, great prophet of God. But he wasn't Elijah. He wasn't Elijah the Tishbite either, nor was he Jeremiah the prophet. Some thought he was Jeremiah the prophet. Others thought he was just some other prophet. All these prevailing opinions were wrong. The only good thing about it, I guess you could say, is that they recognized that Jesus was a religious man because of who they likened him to. But the problem of what they thought was it fell far short of who he was. He was far more than Elijah the Tishbite, though Elijah was a great man. Jesus was far more. He was far more than John the Baptist. He was far more than Jeremiah the prophet. Jesus was the Messiah. He was the anointed one that the Old Testament scriptures prophesied would come. So that's what men need to recognize about Jesus. And it's the same way today. It's exactly the same way today. If you took a poll of people, people think Jesus was a good man. They would think Jesus was a great teacher or a great prophet. It'd be sort of the same kind of opinions that you see here. And there's people that have respect for him as a religious man and have a sympathetic opinion towards his cause, yet they fall short of who he really was. Jesus was the Messiah. And it's important for you to realize that today Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 8 that unless you believe, unless you trust that I'm He, you'll die in your sin. And that's so important for you today. I don't think there's a person sitting in the congregation today that don't know about Jesus. Everybody here in their life have heard about Jesus. And I'm sure that everyone here has an opinion about Jesus, who He was. But I want to tell you something, folks. You need to know Him as your Messiah. He was the anointed one. He is the Christ. He was the one the Old Testament scriptures prophesied would come and be born and go to a cross and substitute Himself for the sins of His people and then rise again the third day. That's who Jesus was. Now, folks, there are some people that even know that. But at the same time, they've never trusted that message. I've told you many times in the past about a man years ago when I worked at M&W Distributors. He hadn't been with us a whole amount of time. He just knew. I think I was 20. I was preaching then, and I wasn't pastoring. I didn't start pastoring until I was 21. But I was preaching whenever I was 20. And he wanted me to come and see him. And I went to the hospital and see him. And I just sat down in the chair and had my Bible. And I was anxious. I thought, well, he sent for me. He's really wanting to know. You know, I was excited. I thought, oh, man, perhaps the Lord's going to save his soul. And I went in and I was excited. And I sat down. And he said, well, all right, go ahead. He'd give me an open door, you know, I thought. And I said, all right. And he said, wait a minute, before you start, you're going to tell me that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, aren't you? You're going to say He rose again the third day. And he told me, he began to share with me what he believed to be the gospel message, and he was right in what he said. He said, all right, now go ahead. I said, I just shut my Bible up. He said, what's the matter with you? I said, well, you already know. But you've never trusted. It's a very foolish thing to know the way and not to trust the way. It's kind of like a person that has a terminal illness that's dying and you got the medicine right there, but at the same time he refused to take the medicine. And there's a lot of people that way. They have a knowledge about the Lord. They have a knowledge about spiritual things. But at the same time, personally, they've never trusted the Messiah. And I pray that that's not you today. I pray today that you can look at yourself and there was a day and a time in your life that the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and that you realized you as a sinner and you trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. I pray that today, that just like Simon Peter's going to make a profession here in just a little bit, I pray that today that you realize from the very depths of your being that for you, though people think he's just a good man or a teacher, but as for you, you believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, your Savior. I pray that that's true of you today. And if it's not true of you today, I pray that it will be by the time that this service is done. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? I wouldn't tell you He's a Messiah. He's my Messiah. It's a personal thing. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. It's personal. A lot of people say he's a Savior or he's a, but he is mine. It's personal with me. I know him. Oh, I thank God today that I know him. And we'll give you the reason for that here in just a little bit. I know him. I know who he is. I never personally seen him. I never personally heard him teach or preach like the men back whenever he was here did. But folks, today I know him. I know who he was and who he is and where he's at. He's my Savior. Can you say that today? Pray that you can. All right, number two, let's get a little bit more personal. He asked them now, you see the general question and the response. Response kind of sad. They knew he was a good man and things, and a religious man, but they fell short of really knowing him. They fell short of really knowing him. Well, verse 15 is the specific question. We looked at the general question. And he said, but whom say ye that I am? He's talking to his 12. Talking to his apostles that followed along with him, his disciples. Who do you say? I mean, it gets right down specific. You give them a general question, setting them up. And then he looks at them and he says, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? It's a good question for you this morning. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? Well, right according to character, Simon Peter, he's always quick to react, and sometimes it's a bad thing, but this is a good thing. Son, I don't think the words hardly come out. Who do you say? Well, notice who chimed in immediately, Simon Peter. That's just according to his character. That's the way that he was. He's a quick responder. Now, sometimes he responded before he thought, but this is a good thing. He immediately responds in answer. He says, I believe that thou art the what? The Christ. The Christ means Messiah, the anointed one that the Old Testament scriptures prophesied would come. Now, I don't know that they fully understood at this time the nature of what the Messiah would do. As you study in the book of Luke, remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus died. Remember what the two disciples said? We had hoped that this would have been He that would have redeemed Israel. They were looking for a Messiah like King David or like Samson that was going to come in and deliver Israel out of the oppression of their enemies. They didn't realize the Messiah was coming, like Isaiah 53 says, was to deliver them in a greater way, to deliver them from their sin debt. Simon Peter did believe that that he was the Messiah. But notice what else that it says, which was what a lot of men didn't understand and a lot of men didn't see. A lot of men didn't see him as the Messiah. But then he goes on to say, the Son of the living God. Now think about that. To call him the Son of God means that Simon Peter recognized Jesus as deity. Call him the Son makes him to be equal to the Father, we know from other texts of Scripture. Because the Jews got offended at him because he said he was the Son of God. Because they knew it made him equal to the Father. Simon Peter recognized his deity. He recognized he was God in the flesh. He recognized he was the Messiah. Folks, Peter knew him. Peter knew who he was. Folks, this is a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And you see that several times in Scripture. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. Let me give you some examples of it. People who made a profession. I guess my question to you at this time, have you ever made a profession of faith? Have you ever made a profession of faith? Profession of faith that you've trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? A profession of faith that you recognize that one day you was a sinner because the Holy Spirit, of course, revealed it. That you recognize you as a sinner and that you trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Have you made a profession of that faith? Have you? Do people know that about you? Hey, do people know that about you? Do you know, I've told you, I've lost count of the number of funerals that I've done in 25 years. Can you imagine how many that's been in 25 years? But you know the prevailing question I get from people when I do a funeral service? You know what it is? Did they make a profession of faith? That's the prevailing question that I get. Or the ultimate question, Jeff, do you think they was ready? That's the prevailing question. People need to know if you've made a profession of faith. Don't you agree? If you're here today and you've trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, your children, if you're a daddy, your children should know that. Do you agree? Your children should know that. I mean, that's the greatest event that ever happens in a person's life. Your children should know that there was a day and a time that you have made a profession of faith in Jesus. You've trusted Jesus. I mean, dad likes to tell the children about when they scored the big touchdown, or dads like to tell them when they bagged the big deer. What difference is that going to make about their eternity? Dads, you need to share with your children about the day that you trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. You need to tell them about that. And I think that has an impact upon them as they listen. I think that's a big thing. Your children need to know. Your wives need to know. Your co-workers need to know. Young people, your classmates need to know. That person's made a profession of faith. Simon Peter, in this context, definitely wasn't ashamed to own the fact that that was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and you shouldn't be ashamed of that either. People should know that about you. There should be a day and a time that you've made a profession of faith in Jesus. Romans 10 says, if you profess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When you believe in the heart, the next result of that will be a profession from the lips. You want to know and want someone to know that you've trusted the Messiah. Have you done that? Hardest thing in the world to do is when I do a funeral and a dad hadn't done that, or a mom hadn't done that, or a child hadn't done that. It's very difficult. Very difficult. It's easy to comfort people when you know they've made a profession of faith in the Master in their life. And then that profession changed them. If they had made a profession in their life, don't bear evidence of the fruit of it, it's a sign of a dead faith. Now that's a hard one to do too. But have you made a profession? Let's notice some examples. John chapter 6. Jesus preached a message here in John 6 that offended a lot of people. And the text says that many disciples walked no longer with him as a result. They went back. The message offended them. Verse 66 tells you that. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? You going to leave me too? Here we have Simon Peter talking again. And Simon Peter answered, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Oh, God's people said. Isn't that refreshing? Man, this was a tremendous statement that he's making. Here again, he makes a profession that Jesus is the Messiah. Turn to John 11. Y'all like to look at professions of faith. Boy, I love to look at them in Scripture. Make a profession. John chapter 11. Jesus is speaking to Martha and listen to her profession of faith. Verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, yea, verse 27, I believe that thou art, there you have it again, thou art the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. 1 John chapter 5 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God. And here you have it just, and I could show you other examples. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 16. There's a profession. Have you made a profession of faith? This, I'm not trying to sound awful, but there's some of you that's attended here for years, and I don't know whether you're saved or not. I'd like to know. Well, I'd probably have to do your service, and I'd hate to look at a congregation full of people and say, well, they went there for years, but I don't have no idea whether they are or not. They never did say nothing. You say, well, that's awful, Jeff. Well, I'd like to know. I'd like to know. And I'm sure your family would like to know. And for crying out loud, if you've trusted them, you shouldn't be ashamed to tell it. Look here. I've trusted the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's my Savior. I love Him. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I'll tell you that out in the middle of the street if you want, or I'll tell you on my dock where I work at if you want. It don't make no difference to me. I wanted my sons to know that from the very moment that they were old enough to understand that their daddy had trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, because I wanted that to have an impression upon their life. I don't understand people who want to seem to keep that a secret. He made a profession of faith in Jesus. Now, makes you want to build Peter up a bit, does it not? I mean, man, look how smart Simon Peter was. He was a whole lot brighter than the most religiously trained men of his day. They didn't recognize him, despite seeing all the miracles that he did. They didn't recognize the Sanhedrin Council, the ruling body of Jews, religious men. The most educated men didn't realize who Jesus was. If he did, it didn't make no difference to them. Boy, he must see was really something. Boy, this Galilean fisherman sure was smart, wasn't he? He was brighter than everybody else, wasn't he? Well, let's go ahead and look at verse 17. Let's look at verse 17. And we're going to look at the reason why Simon Peter knew what he did. And everybody in the house needs to realize that, because this same thing is true of you. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." You're blessed. Why? Because flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you. Now, let's stop at that just for a moment. Flesh and blood. You're looking up here at me? I'm flesh and blood. It wasn't flesh and blood. In other words, Simon Peter, you didn't see that because you were brighter than everybody else. It wasn't because Simon was so much more intelligent than everybody else. I mean, he's seen a great thing. He's seen that Jesus was the Messiah. He's seen the deity of Christ. He's seen all of these things in Him. And folks, that was a tremendous thing to see. But he says it wasn't because he was brighter than everybody else that he saw these things. It wasn't because he possessed more intelligence than everybody else. Does everybody see that? It wasn't because of any man. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, Jeff saved me. Jeff didn't save one person. Or Jeff revealed this. Jeff didn't reveal one thing. I might share the truth of the Word of God. I might share the message, but I'm actually not the one that reveals it to the heart. So he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Everybody see that? That just simply means man didn't reveal that message to you. It's not because you're brighter or smarter. So if you're here this morning and you recognize who Jesus is and you've trusted Him as your Savior, if that is true, that's not because you're smarter than everybody else either. What's it say? Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but who revealed it? The Father revealed it to him. In other words, this old Galilean fisherman knew who Jesus was because the Father revealed that to him. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Does everybody in the house recognize that? You remember, you better be careful what you shake your head to. You better understand what you're shaking your head to. The only reason he understood who Jesus was is because it was revealed to him from the Father. And if it wasn't for the Father revealing it to him, he'd have never knew it. And that same thing is true of everybody here. You know what that does, don't you? That takes every bit of the pride and arrogance out of you for your salvation and places it where it belongs in your God. What are you going to do with that text? It just says what it says. You get ready to really blow Peter up for such a great statement about him understanding who the Messiah is, and then Jesus said, "Now, Simon, you understand this. Now, because of flesh and blood, because my Father revealed that to you. That's why you know who I am." Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. There's other texts of Scripture that says the same thing. Does that bless your heart? Do you know that blesses me? I pray that it does you too. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Hope I wrote down the right text. We'll make double sure. I feel really blessed this morning with this text. So, Jeff, why do you feel blessed? Because I know who Jesus was and is. I know He's the Messiah. And I know that's what saves your soul. And I know the reason why I know, too. I know because the Father revealed it to me. It makes me feel blessed. And I know it's not because I'm brighter than everybody else. I know it's all because of Him. And isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't that not make you want to, you know, we sung the song, "Draw Me Near." This should draw you near. It's the reason why you are what you are and the reason why you're at where you're at. Matthew 11 says basically the same thing. Verse 25, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things.'" What? "Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." "Even so, Father, so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son. And he, whosoever, the Son will reveal him." I'm telling you this morning, here's what I'm saying. This just come right down to, here's what I'm saying. The reason why you know this morning, you're sitting there saved today, you know Him as Messiah, you know Him as your Savior, you know Him as the Son of the living God, you've made a profession. The reason why that is, it's not because you're brighter than everybody else. The reason you know that is because the Father seen fit in His grace to reveal that to you. Somebody say amen. That's why you see it. That should humble your soul. That means if it hadn't been for Him revealing that to you, you'd still be in your sin. That brings all those other passages all to life. Turn to Galatians 1. Let me show you another one. This should make you love Him that much more. That's the sole reason I preach this text. Oh, where would I be if it hadn't been for Him? I've seen a lot and I know a lot about who the Messiah is, but I know that because God revealed it to me. Galatians chapter 1, notice verse 13. The Apostle Paul is describing his conversion, really. He describes what he was and what God did. Verse 13 says, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, being exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased who? When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. God did that. Does everybody know that? God made... Hey, He was Saul of Tarsus. He hated Christians. He were bringing them in chains to Jerusalem and persecuted them. He was the chief persecutor of His day. And when He was going on the road to Damascus, folks, He wasn't going to a revival meeting. He was going to put them in chains and bring them to Jerusalem. But it pleased God, who separated Him from His mother's womb and called Him by His grace, and He revealed Jesus to Saul of Tarsus. And that's the reason why that same man said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the same thing that you should say and thank God for every day of your life, I am what I am by the grace of God. If it hadn't been for God revealing the Son in him, to him, he'd still be out chasing Christians somewhere in Jerusalem, and he knew that. Where would I be this morning? Where would you be this morning if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God? We strut around like we're the brightest people on the planet, like we know more than everybody else. And the only reason we know it is because the Father revealed it. To Him belongs all the glory. It's supposed to rob you of all arrogance. That's why He saw it. That's why He saw it. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm sorry, Luke 24. I'm going to show you a couple of things here real fast. How does the Lord reveal it to you? How does the Lord reveal it to you? I mean, what happens? What happened the day you were saved? And how does He reveal it? We realize that the reason you know it is because He revealed it. Isn't that all what it says? You know, I've had people say, yeah, that's what it says, but I don't believe it. Well, you just as well go to the house then. I mean, really, that's what it says, but I don't believe it. That's what it says, then you better believe it. You have a responsibility to. And all this does is give glory to the King, the proper glory that He deserves in your salvation. How does He reveal? Well, we obviously know, I'm not going to go into detail of it. We obviously know that He uses the Word of God, does He not? Faith comes by and hearing by the Word of God. We're not hard shells. I have to fight that label a lot, but it's not a hard shell. I believe in preaching the gospel to every creature. That's our job as a church. Spread the gospel, spread the gospel, spread the gospel, spread the gospel. Then depend upon the Holy Spirit to reveal that to the heart. How does He reveal it? Well, first of all, we done said one thing, that He uses the Word. But number two, in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, notice what it says. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. I used that as a theme in Vacation Bible School one year, remember? Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. They never understood the Scriptures before then. He went back to the Old Testament, the Law and the Psalms, and He explained to them the Scriptures concerning Himself. Wouldn't you love to hear that meeting? But then as they listened to the Scriptures, it says that the Lord opened their understanding to where they could understand it. That's what happens the day the Lord reveals it to you. You might have heard about Christ before all your life. But then the day that He reveals it, you understand it. You understand why He died. You understand it. Never understood it before. When He reveals it to you, you do understand. I understand why He died. And that's why you understand. Because He opened your understanding up. There's a fellow that used to attend church years ago. This is back when I worked at M&W2. I was about 20. 100. Forget it. He drove a forklift like I did. And he made a profession of faith, people come and told me. And I went over to him and I said, we became close friends. I said, I heard that you have been saved. And he said, well, that's what they told me. And I went, oh, that's not good enough. I said, what do you mean this way? Well, I went to the front of the church. And, you know, a lot of churches do that. You get them to the front of the church and praise God they're saved. You don't ever talk to them. You need to make sure they're trusting the Messiah. You need to explain the way to them. There's no more saving power up here than is back there. I said, would you come out in the my truck with me at lunch? And I'll share with you the scriptures about salvation. Well, I'd love to do that. I didn't know him that well, so I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what he'd say. So I went out there at lunch, and he sat there in my truck, and I explained to him the way of salvation, how the Lord saves and things. And I'll never forget, he said, eyes are always, he said, I see it. I see it, Jeff. I see it. I see it. And he trusted me. You know, I think he was saved in the front seat of my truck. I don't think he was saved the night before because he didn't understand nothing. Nothing was told him. He went to the front. But he didn't realize that Jesus was the Messiah and that he died for his sin. When he reveals that you understand, you see. 2 Corinthians 4, last text. Last text, maybe. Oh, I got so many things I could show you from scriptures here today. Oh, it's just awesome. Do you love him this morning? Your heart should be worshiping the King because you know what you do. It's because he revealed it to you. Verse 5. It says, we preach not ourselves, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our what? You know, it reminds you of creation. You know, back in creation, all was dark, and God said, let there be. And it was light. So it says, God that commandeth the light to shine in darkness shined in my heart. Who commanded the light to shine? Listen, who commanded the light to shine to start with in the world? God. Who commanded the light to shine in your heart? God did. That's why you see. You were in darkness, and He commanded the light to shine in your heart, and you've seen who Jesus was. Oh my! The man that wrote Amazing Grace knew that. Once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Now I see. Who gave him light? God did. God did it. He revealed it. He calls the light to shine in his heart. He gave you a heart to know him, Jeremiah 32 says. Give you a heart to know him. And that's why you're at where you're at today. It's called Him. I ask you a question. Tell me, this message this morning, who's it give glory for your salvation to? See it. It's where it belongs. That's why you should worship Him. That's why you should sing about Him. That's why you should study His Word. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father. Can I give you one more text? 1 Corinthians 2. I got a lot. I will promise you I'll quit with this one. Let you go home. Verse 9 says, as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And that verse is always taken out of context. I'm going to tell you that right now. I have not seen or heard the things that God prepared for them. And they throw it plumb out into the second coming. Read verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. Is that what it says? He revealed them to us by His Spirit. Folks, how did He reveal to you that Jesus was the Messiah? He did it by the Spirit. The Spirit of God revealed to you who Jesus was. That's why you know. That's why you know. And that's why Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Because flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father did. That's why you know. That's the reason why 1 Corinthians 4 says, who made you to differ from another? You want to answer it? God did. What hast thou that thou hast not received? And if thou hast received it, why do you glory as if you have not received it? To God be all glory and praise today. Don't you love that text of Scripture? It's an awesome text. I pray that it blesses your heart. Bertha, I'd like to sing one at the end. Would you care to come sing a song of praise to the Lord? And I pray that you can. It is 4:53.